chapter 5, I kind of read over it, just to back a little bit, and it was really talking about the animal history. History visual to the Ammonites, and how many people could see that the children of Israel were pleasing God and prospering them, gave them everything they needed, but when they turned away from God and followed after the pagan gods or foreign idols or anything like that, he would try to bring back through prophets. Sometimes it works, I guess. A lot of times it didn't. He ended up having to turn them over to their enemies, other enemies, turn them into slaves. Basically, punish them, bring them back to them. And that's just, it just talks about chapter 5, how that. Basically, the Ammonite man. They were the big topic. The leader of the Ammonites was saying that you're not going to destroy God's people if they're pleasing to them right now. And if they're not, you can destroy them. But he said,
down at the base of the mountain. They tied up paper and up at the foot.
factor than that. And the Israelites went down to Megiddo. They found a new king and brought him to the city. They set him before the leaders of the city, and they noted that he died of a son of Micah, of the tribe of Simeon, Shimbrus, the son of Jephunneh, and Shammas, the son of Ahiud. They summoned all the city elders and all their young men, and the women rushed to the assembly, and they said, "April, the most of all the people." So I asked him what had happened. He reported to the men the things of the council of Jephunneh, and all the men who were to be spoken in the midst of the Assyrian officials, and all that Jephunneh arrogantly boasted against the house of Israel. Then the people fell down and worshipped God and cried out, saying, "O Lord of heaven, look down upon your arrogance and have mercy on the humble. State of the humble state of our people. Look with favor upon those who sanctify you this day." Then they encouraged Achor and praised him exceedingly. Then Uzziah took him from his assembly to the house and gave a feast to the elders. And all that night they called upon the God of Israel for help. So, I mean, whenever it looks out, they see a great big army. Can't believe it. There's 100,000 foot soldiers, 12,000 cavalry. That's a lot. That's a big army. So they're scared anyway. I mean, they're asking God for help, but they're still scared because of friends and servants all these things. But,
I read a story a while back about this boy in a tribe in Africa. He was the chief's son, and he was just really mean, and he never got punished because everybody was afraid of the chief, and they didn't want to punish him. And so one time, some missionaries came and asked the chief if his son could go to school, to their school, and the chief let his son decide, and his son wanted to please his father, so he said he would go to school, and he learned to read, and they taught him about Jesus, and he learned, he became a Christian, and the queen at that time of their land didn't want missionaries, and so he got persecuted, and he had a hard time, but God saved him.
King Nebuchadnezzar built an idol and said that everybody should worship it, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down and worship it, and So they got cast into the fire furnace and there's no hope for them, but God saved them. And then Nebuchadnezzar called them out and they didn't even smell like fire.
When the children of Israel were crossing the Jordan River, the Egyptians were trying to get them, and they went across, and they were getting across, the Egyptians, to catch them, and they were about across, and they were going to be killed, but then God destroyed them and made the waters cave over them.
We had the same assignment as the younger boys, and I thought about the, when the children of Israel were in captivity to the Egyptians, it probably looked hopeless, and then God sent Moses to lead them out across.
I thought of Elijah when he went to the widow's house, and he asked for the little bit of food that was left in the house, and she gave it to him. And then God gave her enough food to last throughout the famine.
I thought about Menno Simons, how he was a good a Catholic priest and really high up, and but he knew that he was doing wrong, and that he was leading people in that way. So he left and started a church. That way, is he didn't know how it would turn out, but he did it anyway.
In Acts 12, where Herod arrested Peter, threw him in prison, it didn't look very hopeful. But the people were praying for him, did their best, and then on the last night, the angel of the Lord led him out of the prison.
Hagar and her son Ishmael were dying of thirst in the wilderness, and then God sent an angel and made a spring of water, so then they lived.
In Maccabees 3 and 4, there's the Israelites are captured by the Gentiles, and they're in a hopeless situation, and then God sends Judah to deliver them and defeat all the Gentiles and get free.
I thought of Joshua and Caleb when they went into the land of Canaan, and all the other 10 spies said that they couldn't take the land. There's too many. Their country is too strong. There's too many people, and Joshua and Caleb had faith, and God helped them take Canaan.
In Genesis 37 till the end of Genesis, Joseph was sold into Egypt, and he had pretty much no hope after being sold into Egypt, but he just still kept on trying to do good and pleasing his masters. That God worked it out that he helped a lot of people not die in the famine.
I had the same one as Philip had when the widow only had just enough food for one more meal. And Elijah asked for some bread and stuff, and she gave up their last meal to feed Elijah, and then God blessed them with a bunch of food that lasted the entire day.